Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is July 24, 2023. It is the 7th day of Abe, 2027. We will start our first service day with a song, and then we'll go into the title of our sermon. It's called the General Conference Special. V.T. Holler, 1950, and it's called about the title of the sermon is Coming of Elijah. Actually, the question is, the title of the sermon is, who is the Elijah of today? Is he to restore all things? What to do with offshoots? Okay, let's begin our study now. Who is the Elijah of the day? Is he to restore all things? What to do with the offshoots? For these questions are being agitated among us by an ever-increasing family of the offshoots as the most prominent and as the most tormenting of which is the shepherd's rod. In the truth, its tormenting have grown unto such proportions as for the bringing every true Seventh-day Adventist squarely face to face with it. Indeed, brethren, its growing gravity challenges each one of us no longer to dodge the issue, as did the Jews in their day, and thereby lose out, but rather to meet it as Yahshua met the Sanhedrin and thus gloriously went out. So it says, for this general conference year, that's in 1950, B.T. Hall, if he was hoping for the 144,000 to come forth that year. So he says, for this general conference year should resolve in every mind once for all of the questions as unto who is who and what is what. Even if you are not one who is personally tormented by the rod, still you should fortify yourself with the facts so you may be able to administer the healing ointment of the truth unto those who are suffering from its torment, to bring before you the seriousness of the situation in which the Seventh-day Adventist Church finds herself at this late hour, and the remedy which the Yahweh would have his people apply so as to set them free from this offshoot annoyance. I am therefore making this second attempt to set before you the revealed facts so that no one, whether minister or layman, need longer walk blindly and in darkness. Since there is a general agreement that the inspiration direct from the throne of Yahweh is our only spiritual eyesight, then we should be able to see eye to eye if we let the Spirit of Yahweh have His way with us, especially so, dear fellow believers, since the time is right to look into the situation now that the Yahweh's people everywhere are aroused by the questions. Has the Elijah, the prophet, already come? Is the ancient prophet to appear in the person himself? Is a group of the people to do a work similar to that of the ancient Elijah, or what? As no one can in either honesty or impunity stand aloof unto the answer that comes from the Yahweh's infallible word, surely you, brethren, will now give the most serious attention unto this urgent consideration, letting nothing distract you from it, for you as well as I must realize that it means life and eternity unto all of us. For the serious issues under which these questions give rise demand that we cease fooling ourselves or letting others make fools of us. If the questions cannot be answered in the positive truth, far better than that they be left on the shelf until the scroll unfolds, further than that they be answered by men's idle tales, which only confuse and confound. Now we may ask, has the scroll unrolled far enough for the clearing up of all these questions? It is the Spirit of Yahweh pleading for us to stop, look, and listen? Or are we still to wait for the divine answer? Let us open our eyes wide to the light of the more sure word of the prophecy itself, now shining more and more on our pathway. Behold, I will send you the Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, that's the Son. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. In the light that this prophecy sheds on the subject, no one can possibly escape the conclusion that a prophet in the form of a person is to be sent before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, and that thus only can there be a group of the people in the connection with the Elijah's message. For the scriptures make definite and sure of the promise, the time and the work, also the way for our security in the great and dreadful day, lest, as the Yahshua says, I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4, 6. No one can afford to commit the absurdity of either treating lightly or of kindling sparks of his own on the subject. We should remember, moreover, that it is not possible that the Yahweh should leave one of us in the darkness. If we want to know the truth, and if we are mindful of what the Yahweh would have us to do, that's a great controversy in 560. Unto the end that this may be the happy experience of all of us, we should pray that the Spirit who leads into all the truth would direct this effort. However, I would remind you, brethren, that no prophet of the Yahweh has ever been welcomed by the Seventh-day Adventist Church or the House of Israel collectively. On the contrary, each in his time was rejected, abused, and most of them were martyred by the ones unto whom they were sent, as the very ones who were supposed to be serving Yahweh. Indeed, Yahshua himself paid the same price For this very reason, we must remember that when the last prophet comes, he will have the greatest opposition to meet. For Satan well knows that if he loses now, he loses forever. What makes Elijah's work especially hard is that Christendom has long been drilled in the idea that no prophet is to come, that there is no necessity for one, that it has enough revealed truth to carry it inside the pearly gates. It is therefore only to be expected that the predicted Elijah will be denounced as a false prophet, perhaps even as the Antichrist offshoot or what not. Moreover, the old devil has already put all his forces to work, piping pleasing tunes for the luring of the truth seekers, for the climbing aboard of his golden bandwagon. For his glittering tinsel of the truth is already beguiling many with his wares, while his captains and generals are to the top of their voices shouting their hallelujah. Holy Ghost, gift of healing, gift of tongues, gift of miracles, and all the rest, although the entire fanfare is devoid even of a spark of life. Every wind of the doctrine will be blowing. False revivals and reformations will be at their peak. Everything that can be done will be done for the distorting of the truth, and thus distract and dishearten believers and draw their attention unto something other than the message of the Elijah. This will be the devil's deal while the day of the Yahweh is approaching, and while Elijah is making the announcement of it as the scroll unrolls, and while the prophecies concerning the day of the Yahshua are being unsealed. His work and his interpretation of the prophecy for the great day will identify him as the promised Elijah, as the prophet. Testimonies to the ministers, 475. And this will enrage the devil as never before. Nevertheless, one's only safety will be in the teaching of the Elijah, for there will be no other voice of the time of truth and authority unto whom one may turn. Any others will lead their victims blindfolded into perdition. Do not henceforth leave in the hands of others your investigation of the subject. After hearing the evidences, you alone in the closet of the prayer and with the aid of the Spirit can determine whether the Elijah has come or whether he is yet to come. Do not, though, forget that the message which he proclaimed will in itself bear the divine credentials of the truth, and that no priest or prelate can decide for you who the Elijah may or may not be. No, not even the appearance of what his message is doing or not doing, or whether it is prospering or disintegrating, can be taken as evidence that Yahweh is in it. Neither can numbers of the adherents, for such have never signified a right cause at any time, not even in the day Yahshua himself preached the gospel of the kingdom. The message he brings is the only thing to go by. And since the enemy cannot get around the truth, he does all he can the blackened character and the pink flaws and the personality. For the prophet's message, nevertheless, cannot be judged by the behavior of his professors. For even the apostles misconducted themselves before the ascension of Yahshua, for the multitude too that followed Moses was anything but exemplary. In fact, in many instances they were disgraceful. And the holy men of Yahweh who wrote the scriptures were faulty men. Even Moses himself was not fruitless, regardless of, he was still Moses, and his will was and his was the only message and movement for the day. Likewise, irrespective of the considerations of the personal fault, frailties or failings, Elijah's message and movement will be the only Yahweh sent ones, for the only ones to fear, to love, to stand by, to live, or to die for. No, there will be no other shield. When heaven opens and the storm breaks and all is dread, fury upon the world, to the unavoidable pour down this lethal lightning from the sky. Finally, for what other purpose should any right-thinking minds suppose Yahshua would send his prophet Elijah if not for them to give? Let's do it again. Suppose the Yahweh the Father would send his prophet if not for them to give ear unto him, that they might thereby survive the great and dreadful day of his son, Yahshua. For what else, indeed, could the Yahweh have made a record of the prophecy and promise of his last day prophet? Ponder this, brethren. Think it through. Then, too, no one should forget that when anyone joins the Adventist Church, he does so if he is in his right mind, without the approval of his former minister. Neither does he join the church because of a large membership or well-behaved people, but because he knows he has heard the truth as revealed by the spirit of the prophecy, truth itself. Since it was in the pursuing of this wise course that any of us ever came to accept the prophet and the message, so must it still be if we are to know and to receive Elijah. Therefore, as never before, we should pray not only that the laborers may be sent forth into the great harvest field, but that we may have a clear conception of the truth, so that when the messengers of the truth shall come, we may accept the message and respect the messenger. That's 20, volume 6, page 420. No other course dare anyone take in this matter, for the crown of the demands of the life demands our most vigilant guarding of it, because a foul enemy seeks to wrest it from our grasp. I am confident that you, brethren, are convinced of the solid truth of what we have considered thus far. And now, in the proceeding of further, I am sure, too, it will be agreed that if our spiritual vision is clear for the discernment of the time that the Elijah is to appear, then we shall have less trouble by the discovering of the true answers for the rest of our questions. as it is, however, to keep in mind that the time in which to expect Elijah is before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. Yet, just this knowledge alone is insufficient for the knowing of when and what the great and dreadful day itself is all important. Without this knowledge, who could possibly discern Elijah when he should come? That this knowledge, not escape us, inspiration, is attained again for the locating of the day through the Malachi's prophecy. Behold, I will send my messenger, Elijah the prophet, chapter 4, verse 5, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come unto his temple, that he may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify of the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yeshua an offering in the righteousness. Malachi 3:1-3. Okay, it says, for the day of the Yeshua, we are told in these verses, is a day of the refining, of the purifying, of the sifting. Moreover, the question, who may abide the day of his coming, points out with a sharp emphasis that some will not stand, that they will fall out during the shaking. Early writing, page 270, and not abide the process of the refining. Testimony volume 5, page 80. Testimony volume 8, page 250. Shall it be you? Shall it be me? To be shaken out is the greatest question before us. It cannot, though, be either of us if we are intelligently determined not to let it be. Assuredly, brethren, not a one, and they be in the uncertainty, all may for a surety know both the day and the Elijah as he proclaimed it, because unto our surprise, he will point out that every Bible prophet describes the day and also tells what the Yeshua would have us do while it is approaching, and subsequently while we are going through it. All will see that no one but the Elijah can proclaim that day. And now, let us behold the event through the eyes of the Joel's prophecy. Had we no other vision of the day but his, it alone would suffice to give us a clear picture of the greatness and dreadfulness of the day, says he. Blow ye the trumpet in the Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yeshua cometh. For it is nigh at the hand, a day of the darkness and of the gloominess, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. For fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. For the land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. For the appearance of them is as the appearance of the horses, and as the horses, as the horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountains, shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of the fire that devoureth the stubble, as the strong people sit in the battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness, they shall run like the mighty and the men, they shall climb the wall like the men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded, they shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief, for the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Yahshua shall utter his voice before his army. Now this is the Son now. He's come to take charge of his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong, that executes his word. For the day of the Yahshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now said Yahshua, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with the fasting, and with the weeping, and with the mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Yahshua, your Savior, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of the great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Yahshua, your Redeemer, your Son. It's the Yahweh's Son, your Redeemer. Blow the trumpet in the Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Yahshua weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahshua, and give not thine heritage to reproach. So that key word, heritage, Yahshua inherited this world, and the people that he redeemed by his blood, that he inherited them too, to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Yahweh? Then will the Yahshua be jealous for his land. Let's go back to the Father. Then will the Yahweh the Father be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Yahweh will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Yahshua will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of the Zion, and rejoice in the Yahshua, your Savior, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with the wine and oil. And I will restore unto you, hear that word restore, finally we got to that word, unto you the years that the locust hath eaten the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Yahshua your Redeemer that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahshua your King, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaid. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, for the sun shall be turned into the darkness and the moon into the blood before the great and terrible day of the Yahshua come. Okay, it should read actually like this. It should be written like this. For the sun shall be turned into the darkness, and the moon into the blood, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Yahshua. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be the deliverance, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. Now this remnant is 144,000. Because it says in Obadiah that they are saviors that come from Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. It said, but the kingdom shall be the Yahshua's. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. For the children also of the Judah and the children of the Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Okay, behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them unto the Sabaeans, unto a people far off, for Yahshua has spoken it. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into the swords, and your pruning hooks into the spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, and come, all you heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up unto the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit. Yahshua is the one that is what we're talking about here. For the son Yahshua shall sit for the judging of the heathen, round about, puts you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of the decision. For the day of Yahshua is near in the valley of the decision. For the sun and the moon it shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Yahshua also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from the Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Yahshua will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Yahshua, your King, dwelling in Zion, right here on earth, in this last 12th hour, during the judgment of the living time, during the harvest. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down the new wine, and the hills shall flow with the milk, and all the rivers of the Jordan shall flow with the waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of Yahshua, and shall water the valley of the Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and thou loosen from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua dwelleth in their Zion. That's Joel 2, 1 to 32, and Joel 3, 1 to 21. For the Joel's two chapters give us a most compact and vivid view of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. From these alone, we can clearly see what it is like. And as the Elijah comes just before that day begins, he must necessarily be the one who is to interpret these prophecies of the day, and who consequently announces that the day is at hand. And that day is at hand truly right now, even as we speak. For this surely confirms the conclusion that since the Elijah is to herald the great day, he can therefore be the only one who will rightly interpret the prophecies of the day, which are still mysteries unto Christendom and even unto our own denomination. Indeed, to reiterate, it is for this very reason that the prophet is sent. He is to unroll the scroll to explain what the day of the Yahshua is like, what the Yahshua will do then, and how we may survive his judgments. To re-emphasize the fact, let it be said again that being the last of the prophets, Elijah is therefore as the only one who can open unto our understanding all the prophecies of the Scriptures pertaining unto the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, prophecies which hitherto have been only mysteries unto all. Thus he is, as the Scripture said, to blow the trumpet in the Zion, and the sound and alarm in the Yahweh's holy mountain in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In doing all this, he sets in motion the power that is to restore all things. Hence, Yahshua's positive declaration, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Matthew 17:11. Inevitably then, without his message, he would die we would die in our ignorance and in our sin, never live to see the restoration completed. Okay? For the conclusion of the Joel's prophecy in chapter 2 and also in chapter 3 definitely reveals that the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is a time of the Yahshua delivering his people from the Gentile nations and of his cleansing their blood. But do you say we never heard of such a thing? Well, if it is Yahweh's word, we should hear it. And that is exactly why Elijah is sent. Concerning the cleansing, the scripture says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered, for in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. But the Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua dwelleth in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Joel 2:32, 3:20, 21. And should we still ask when this will be, Joel gives us even the further light. For behold, in these days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of the Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 3:1-2. For the Joel lays even greater emphasis on the dreadfulness of the day than the Malachi does, for he says, for the day of Yahshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Joel 2:11. For the prophet's greatest emphasis, you see, is on the dreadfulness of the day rather than on the greatness of it. Again, he warns, alas for the day of the Yahshua is at hand, and as the destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Joel 1:15. Still again, this time through the prophet Ezekiel, inspiration declares it in these words, therefore say unto the house of the Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, thus saith the Yahshua, I'll do not this for your sakes, O Seventh-day Adventist, the house of Israel, spiritual Israel of today, as Sister White said that they were, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. So wherever the Adventists went with the three angels' messages, they profaned Yahweh and Yahshua's holy name, because they wouldn't go back to the sacred name, and they did everything in the world to profane it before the heathen. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, saith Yahshua, for I shall be sanctified in you. That would be in the 144,000, the first fruits of the Adventist Church, to start the judgment of the living before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Savior, your King, Yahshua. Ezekiel 36:22-28. Is it? since the scriptures clearly picture the Elijah and his work, and also that the day is to be what the day is to be like, none who will humbly inquire about him and his work need to guess or to be in the dark concerning either his identity or his mission. For it is his Yahweh-given duty to publish the time of truth as revealed unto him out of the prophecy, and so all who are willing and obedient will have to have no trouble recognizing him and his message, John 7:17. They will know that anyone who comes with a message other than the message found in the prophecies concerning the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is not the promised Elijah. What is more, should the Yahweh send another than Elijah? That is, someone with a message other than at the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. He will not claim to be the Elijah. He will not. He will not lie. Hence, for anyone to make the claim that he is the Elijah, that bear another message than that of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, is in itself positive proof that he is not a prophet of the Yahweh at all, but a rank impostor. And if any should tell you that a former prophet has fulfilled the promise, although the prophet himself has not said so, then not to know for a certainty that such are not working for the Yahweh of the Elijah, but for the devil, is the latest cynicism of the worst kind. So this act as the true believers, true as the seal unto Yahweh and of his holy work, quick to discern the devices of Satan and his hidden deceptive workings. Let's read that again. So this act as Yahshua's true convert, the Son, true as steel unto the Yahshua and his holy work, quick for the discern of the devices of the Satan and his hidden deceptive working through the children of the disobedient. Testimonies, Ministers 276. Since the promised Elijah is to be the last prophet unto the Seventh Day Adventist Church today, as John the Baptist was as the last prophet unto the apostolic church, the church in his day, the Pharisees' church, the Sadducees, and since the last work on the earth is the judgment for the living, the truth stands forth like the light of the day, that the Elijah's message is the message of the judgment for the living. That's exactly what we're proclaiming, judging for the living. We're in the last parabolic hour, the 12th hour. That started in 2002, 2003, at Kermit, Texas. For the last, which is the very nature of the gospel, is of the far more importance and consequences than any other message ever born unto a people. For the question naturally arises now as to what is the nature of the judgment of the living. Since all of us Seventh-day Adventists are acquainted with the work of the judgment for the dead, we should have no difficulty determining the nature of the judgment for the living. Okay, it says we know that the former is to separate in the books alone above the names of the backsliders and sinners from the names of the penitent and the enduring who are among the dead. It removes only their names because their bodies are non-existent. We know, too, that it is to determine whom the heaven is to bring forth from their grave in the first resurrection, Revelation 20, verse 6, and whom to leave until the post-millennial resurrection, Matthew 20, verse 5. Well, accordingly, then, for what else should the judgment for the living be, but to cast out bodily the still living sinners from among the penitent, as is figuratively shown in the parable of the net, the separation of the bad fish from the good, for the same event is again brought to view in the parable of the separation of the wheat from the tares, Matthew 13:3, also in the parables of the wedding garment and of the talents, Matthew 22:1-14, Matthew 25:14-30. Each of these gives further evidence that the separation is the judgment during which the chaff is blown away and the wheat garnered in, and as each has reference to the separation, the judgment of those who are in the Adventist church in the house of the Yahweh, which come the first fruits, 144,000, each emphasis sizes the same fact as does the Apostle Peter. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Yahweh? 1 Peter 4:17. And the additional testimony, the prophet Zephaniah declares, and 1:12-18. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with the candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, as saying in their hearts, the Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their good shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. For the great day of the Yahshua is near, it is nearer, and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Yahshua. For the mighty man shall cry there bitterly, for that day is a day of the wrath, a day of the trouble and distress, a day of the wasteness and desolation, a day of the darkness and of the grimness, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like the blind men, because they have sinned against Yahshua, and their blood shall be poured out as the dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahshua's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Zephaniah 1:12-18. These verses are so transparent as to need no comment. Our subject brings us back to the Joel's prophecy. For the sun shall be turned into the darkness and the moon into the blood, before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahshua shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 2:31-32. Joel 3:1-2. From these verses it is to be seen at a glance that the separation judgment takes place not only in the house of Yahweh, but in the whole world as well. For the Yahweh is very emphatically said, I will also gather all nations and will plead with them there for my people. Joel 3:2. For the same event, the separation in the church, is also forecast in the Revelation. And the serpent, the devil, cast out of his mouth water as a flood, unconverted multitude, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth, and did away with the hypocrites, doubters, and men of followers. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, the church, and went to make war with the remnant of with those that escaped of her seed, those that are truly her children, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. Revelation 12:15-17. Thus both scriptures and the logic make clear that these escaped and separated ones are the remnant people of the Yahweh. In fact, once the church is purified, the Seventh-day Adventist church is purified, the sinners removed from her midst, then the call made by the remnant for the Yahweh's people to come out of Babylon goes forth in a very loud voice. And I heard another voice from the heavens saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. Revelation 18:4. These called out ones are, as the scriptures make clear, beckon ones unto a place, Ezekiel 36:24, Isaiah 66:20, where there is no sin. Isaiah 35:8, 52:1, 62:12. And no fear of the plagues falling upon them. Isaiah 4:5-6. Isaiah 32:17-20. Psalm 91:10. That is, they are gathered into the purified church of the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of the Yahweh of the first fruits. 144,000. For this latter separation, the one that takes place in the Babylon dominion, is further affirmed in the Yahshua's parable. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour, calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I Never Foretold by the Elijah Davis. I never foretold what to do. I never foretold by the Elijah Davis. I never foretold what the future might hold for me. But that's my Eden. And the Savior called. Mother, go along to follow him. Although in a book from which I took your God had covered with his, I opened up and it took my love, and then I read some of the pain. Sweet refrain, and then he'll write it in law. But I never foretold what the future might hold to me. It left my Eden. When my Savior comes to him, I will go for want to follow him. If I could foretell your future as well as the prophets could predict them, my days would be brighter, my load would be lighter, for one to follow him. But I never foretold that the future might hold to me, it's just my Eden.